In 1774, a failed corset maker and dismissed tax collector arrived in Philadelphia with nothing but a letter of introduction from Benjamin Franklin. Within 14 months, this seemingly unremarkable immigrant would ignite the American Revolution with words so powerful they still echo today. "These are the times that try men's souls," Thomas Paine would write, in phrases so stirring that George Washington had them read to his freezing troops before crossing the Delaware. What made Paine's writing revolutionary wasn't just its content, but its accessibility. He spoke directly to ordinary people in language they understood, making complex political ideas feel like common sense. Imagine a pamphlet so persuasive it could sell 150,000 copies in a population of just 3 million, the modern equivalent of 15 million copies today. That was common sense, which transformed reluctant colonists into passionate revolutionaries almost overnight. Yet despite his extraordinary influence, Paine donated all profits from his revolutionary writings to the American cause. This selflessness reflected his lifelong commitment to principle over profit, a stance that would eventually cost him dearly. By the time of his death in 1809, the man John Adams credited with causing the American Revolution died nearly penniless and largely forgotten, with only 6 mourners at his funeral. Nothing in Paine's early life suggested greatness. Born in 1737 in Thetford, England, to a Quaker father and Anglican mother, his education ended at 13 when he began apprenticing in his father's corset-making business, experiencing working-class struggles firsthand. His early career was marked by failures: abandoned corset-making, brief privateer service, twice dismissed as an excise officer. While organizing fellow tax collectors for better wages, he wrote his first political pamphlet, revealing his talent for persuasive writing. This campaign introduced him to London's intellectual circles, where he met Benjamin Franklin, a pivotal encounter. Arriving in Philadelphia in November 1774, Paine became an editor at the Pennsylvania Magazine, where his writing on women's rights and scientific discoveries quickly gained attention. What distinguished Paine was his genuine connection to ordinary people. Unlike many revolutionary leaders from privileged backgrounds, his hardscrabble life gave him unique insight into common struggles. He remained deliberately unpolished, often attending important meetings in plain clothes. America's more egalitarian society, free from Britain's rigid hierarchies, provided fertile ground for his radical ideas. When Common Sense appeared in January 1776, it transformed America's conversation about independence. Before its publication, most colonists still hoped for reconciliation with Britain. Paine's pamphlet made independence seem inevitable through clear, forceful arguments. His distinction between society and government became a powerful insight. Society is produced by our wants, and government by our wickedness. The former promotes our happiness positively by uniting our affections, the latter negatively by restraining our vices. This separation challenged centuries of thought about government's necessity. Paine dismantled supposed benefits of British connection. He ridiculed Britain's protection of America, asking how a small island could govern a continent. He dismissed America's commercial need for Britain, noting that America's resources would attract trade from any nation. He attacked monarchy itself as an institution that even superstitious reverence couldn't sustain. Paine's genius was translating abstract political theories into passionate prose that resonated with all readers, elevating the colonial struggle to the cause of all mankind rather than a mere tax dispute. As the Revolutionary War began, Paine supported the cause through his American Crisis Papers. The first, published in December 1776, when American morale was at its lowest following devastating defeats, began with those immortal words, "These are the times that try men's souls." Paine wrote with authority, having joined Washington's retreating army as a volunteer aide-de-camp during the bitter winter campaign. He described their position between rivers with forces not one-fourth so great as Howe could bring against us. His first-hand accounts of soldiers' suffering, torn clothing, bloody footprints in the snow, dwindling supplies, gave his writing authenticity that resonated widely. Throughout the war, Payne published crisis papers at critical moments to sustain public support. When peace came in 1783, he celebrated America's revolution as having contributed more to enlighten the world and diffuse a spirit of freedom and liberality among mankind. His later crisis papers emphasized that the nation's greatest strength lay in the union of the states, warning that individual states couldn't withstand foreign threats alone, an early articulation of Federalist principles that only through unity could the new nation establish itself as a true republic. After the American Revolution, Paine brought his revolutionary ideas to Europe. When the French Revolution began in 1789, he became deeply involved, seeing it as America's principles spreading across the Atlantic. His Rights of Man, 1791 to 1792, written to counter Edmund Burke's criticism of the French Revolution, became his most influential political work, selling over 200,000 copies in Britain alone. While Burke valued tradition, Paine argued that government legitimacy comes solely from the consent of the governed. He distinguished between old governments that seized power for self-interest and new ones that delegated it for common good. His critique of hereditary rule was particularly sharp, calling it a system that elevated all character types regardless of virtue. Have you ever noticed how we often accept authority without questioning its source? Paine challenged this tendency, advocating for representative democracy based on society and civilization, with nature, reason, and experience as its guide. What Athens achieved locally, America was accomplishing continentally through representation. While imprisoned during France's Reign of Terror, Paine wrote The Age of Reason, a deistic critique of organized religion that damaged his reputation in religious America. He rejected institutional religions as human inventions meant to terrify and enslave mankind, asserting that God's true word exists in creation itself, a universal language beyond human tongues. Paine's final major work, Agrarian Justice, 1797, proposed a forward-thinking social welfare system. He argued that civilization had created both wealth and poverty, and his solution wasn't charity, but justice, recognizing that land naturally belonged to all humanity, meaning landowners owed society ground rent for monopolizing common property. He proposed a national fund from inheritance taxes to provide grants to young adults and pensions to those over 50. This anticipated modern social security systems by over a century, recognizing economic security as essential to liberty. His universal approach avoided stigmatizing recipients while building broad public support. When Paine returned to America in 1802, he found himself largely rejected by the nation he helped create. Despite increasing isolation until his death in 1809, his ideas proved remarkably durable. His articulation of natural rights, representative democracy, and social welfare influenced generations of reformers, earning admiration from figures like Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Edison. In times of political cynicism, Paine's voice still resonates. We have it in our power to begin the world over again. His greatest legacy may be his unshakable faith that ordinary people, given information and education, can govern themselves wisely, a radical idea in his time that remains our democratic ideal today.